Good morning, everybody. I apologize for Rabbi Marburger. He couldn't make it today. So my name is Baruch Greenspan. I'm going to be sitting in. I hope you enjoy nonetheless. I understand Rabbi Marburger told me that Rabbi has been spending quite a long time on Gzela, almost 3 months now. And Dayum covered mostly all the main, hold-ups and etc. Right now, we're reaching the bottom of the barrel. We have to scrape the bottom of the barrel. Zela, doesn't seem that bad, but nonetheless, the Chazal do consider it some sort of Zela. The Rambam called Zela Durabonon, he calls it Avak Zela. Avak is a lotion of dust. Each particle of dust doesn't seem to mean that much. However, slowly with time, even the most exquisite kli item could get gathered dust and becomes a problem, becomes a mess. Even the biggest tzaddik, the most person who's careful in what he does, he has to retain a certain feeling, a certain hegish of what's right and wrong. That might be even delicate, and he has to make sure that even the dust doesn't gather. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that one of the five things that are ma'akav tshuva is someone who is oichel for masuda she'inam hamspekes lebaila, which means you invite yourself to a suda where there's not enough food for the owner to eat. Now, usually that's not that common, where you're going to go ahead and pressure someone to get it for an invitation. However, we do have to be careful when, let's say, there is a Sheva Brachas, out-of-town Sheva Brachas, for example, and you let one of the Mechutanim know that you're coming and you're going to be staying. Now, you don't know who's hosting the Sheva Brachas, who's paying for it. Is there enough room? Are you inconveniencing someone? Over there, the Rambam says such a thing is Avak Zela. So you have to be very careful and be wary of this. It's not just a Suda. The Pelayot says that if you pressure someone to give you something, or you pressure someone to do a deal with you, besides the other issues that you have to be careful about, like Sachmoid and other things. However, if there's not enough to go around for everyone, no matter if it's a pseudo or it's some other type of thing that you're trying to get, you have to be concerned of this issue of pseudo, she'ina maspeket lebaila. It's really questionable. Like, why do Chazal consider this? A Suda Shein and a Speckus Labaila consider this as some form of Gzela. The owner, he has a choice. He could tell you, I don't want to give it to you. I don't have enough. He has the option. He willingly gives it to you. Maybe he doesn't give it to you with his full heart. But why is that considered a Gzela? Well, usually, when someone gives something to you, you're allowed to accept it and act as if it was given to you in full intention. You know, there's a story that goes that there was one time in Simchas Torah, full crowd, and they were bidding for the Psichas Ha'orim, which is some people consider a very, very chashuv thing to do, the night of Simchas Torah, and there were some troublemakers in the back. That while it was going up to $100, $200, or $300, he decided he'd bid $5,000, and sure enough, he won the bid. He goes and he tells one of his cronies to go ahead and open up the Orion for the kibbutz. Sure enough, after Yom Tov, the Gaboyim approach him and say, okay, $5,000, you have to pay up. So he says, I'm not paying, I was joking, you're kidding. What are you talking about? You taking me seriously? So eventually the Gaboyim had no choice. They sent him a hazmona, refused to come. So they had a heter akoris. They came to the judge. And the judge, after hearing the story of the Gaboyim, he asked him, so what do you say? So he said, well, I was joking. So the judge ruled that in the order of the court, you are fully obligated to pay. And if you don't pay up within the next 7 days, we hereby order you to close the Holy Ark. So even though the judge got it wrong, exactly, what the minhagim of happened in a synagogue, however, what they did get right is that when someone plays around, someone jokes, it doesn't mean anything. in halacha and also in secular law. When you say something, you promise something, and we act as if you mean it. However, there are times when Chazal do consider a promise or a deal, what you do say, we don't consider that 100%. This is one example, through the Shema of Sekus Bailo. However, there's another common thing that could happen. It's called Asmachta, the sugya that we have been concentrating on today. We have been concentrating a lot on Misachit Bekuvio. However, it really applies to many other Asmachtas. It's not only Misachit Bekuvio. Anytime, the simple example of Asmachta is when you're going to put in a contract a penalty. When you're going to penalize one of the parties for not following through, Chazal tell us that a person does not mean to really obligate himself on this penalty. He might give it to you. And even if he does give it to you, however, that is a form of zela to take. Because we know a person, when he promises something, and he promises a penalty, he doesn't think that he's really going to end up having to pay that. And even if he does at the end, that's a form of zela. There's a discussion in the Poskim if you have to return it. Pashtus, if you do not, you won't have to return the money that you took. However, accepting the penalty, that would be exhaled. Now, of course, there is a lot of problem and details what is considered an asmachta or not. And many times, if you do it the right way, if it's going to be for damages, the penalty is going to offset some sort of damages that incurs to one of the parties, there will not be a penalty. That will not be considered an asmachta. However, one has to be wary that even if the other party gives it to you, and even if he doesn't fight it, however, by accepting such a thing, that will be no different than a suda sheinu mespekus levayla. One of the forms of asmachta, perhaps, is misachet bekuvia. Now, gambling is not that common, Baruch Hashem. However, if you look into the sugya, some forms of gambling are common. Just to pick an example, I asked this morning before I came, I asked my kids for some of their pogs. Does anyone know what these are? Okay. What's going on now, 2-3 months ago, there's a snack company, a popular snack company, that started putting in each bag, not each bag, but the bags of popcorn that they make, a small little cardboard disc. And they're numbered, there's 180 of them. And then if you buy a bigger bag of popcorn, you get a different disc called a slammer. These ones are called the pogs, and this is called the slammer. Yeah, I also had no clue what these terms were until my kids started telling me all about it. So what it is basically is it's like a new, I don't know how, if it's a new game, it's an old game, but it's similar to what in days of old kids used to play with marbles. But what it is you stack them up and then you take this heavier disc and you slam it and whoever, and you bang it on it hard, you throw it on it, and if you're able to turn over some of the discs, the ones that you get turned over, you get to keep. And if you're able to collect the whole series, all 180 of them, then you get this prize. This fad is actually a craze now. It's in many places in Muncie, Lakewood, Brooklyn, that these kids are doing this. Now, some kids play just for fun, but they don't want to give up the pogs. But some kids play, they play for real. And they play this game, and whoever is able to turn over the most, they keep the pogs. This is a form of misachet bekuvia. And has been brought up by the poskim. Is this a problem? If the kids are playing for real, is it a problem with misachet bekuvia? I was once walking down Meisharim. Before you get to the old part of Meisharim, I don't know if the only remembers, if you have a deer, there's like a block or two before, it is on. If you're walking in that direction, on the left side, there's a booth for Mifal HaPayis. That's the Israeli lotto. And I was walking by there, and there was someone collecting money standing there, not far from there, and he was collecting money from the tourists passing by, the American tourists. And all of a sudden, I see a big tumult there, and there's someone shouting, Gzela, Gzela, Gzela. So I go over what someone looking there, an American looking very embarrassed. He does, I ask him what's going on. He says, yeah, I don't know what's going on. This guy, I said, what happened? So I said, listen, this guy started telling me his whole sad story. So I told him, listen, why don't you go buy a lotto ticket? Go buy a lotto ticket, and maybe you'll win and solve all your problems. Yeah, it was a good idea. And the guy went ballistic. And there was, you could tell he was a Svadisha. So I asked the person, my Brit was a little better, has been spent a little more time there. And I asked, what's the problem? So what I could get out was somehow that Maran Rabbeinu Avadia Yosef says it's Gzela. It sounds very funny to me. I didn't know what was going on. But, you know, I calmed it down a little bit. You know, if you give him a little money, he calms down. And that was that. But it seemed strange to me. So I asked around. And what came out was that, yes, indeed, Moran Avadia Yosef does paskin. It's in the Purusha Tshuva that he writes that lotto is the usher for Svardim to play in Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to see today why and how this is this came about and what the Ashkenazim Asayim Echan. And all these types of things, Chinese auctions and split the pot, all these things. As we might have seen, that the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Gzeila, brought in the Shulchan Aruch in the sheets over there, that someone who's misachik bekuvya, it's Gzeila b'divreihem. It's considered a gzela. If you're playing Mesachim Bekuvya with a goy, that's okay. However, he's only over on something that, well, I don't know, basically he says it's a waste of time. You're wasting your time. A person only is supposed to deal in dvorim, shel chachma, in things that are beneficial. Just playing is just a waste of time. A person shouldn't be oisik in such a thing. That is the Shita HaRambam. The Rambam, a little background here, the Rambam holds that, according to most poskim, the Rambam holds that Asmachta applies almost across the board. Now, there are some times when the Rambam holds not. If you already gave the penalty, Lamashal, if you already have the money, then the Asmachta will not apply. And if you said some sort of Lashon of Me'achshav, okay, but let's not concentrate on that for now. Interestingly, the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos doesn't seem to say that it's a real asmachta misach b'kuvya, which the Achrayim asked. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidos says someone is possible. Why is someone possible? Because he's not being oisik b'yeshuva shalodam. In the sugya in Sanhedrin, in Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara brings a machlokes. The Mishnah says eloin absulim misachik b'kuvya. Question is, why is misachik b'kuvya possible la'edus and for Dayonis? The Gemara brings a machlokes between Rami Bar Chama, which says, simple because it's an asmachta. When I put money in the pot, I put money on the table, and I mean to win. If I would know that I will never see that money again, I'll probably get up and leave. I'm not giving the money willingly. When I lose, I grudgingly hand over the money or let the other party take the money because I want him to play again with me, or other reasons. He's bigger and stronger than me. Rav Sheshet says that's not the case. Misachim B'Kuvya will not be an Asmachta. And the reason why Misachim B'Kuvya is possible for Eidos is because he's any Oisik B'Yeshuvah Shalom. He gambles, that's how he makes his money. If he has another job, that's okay. But someone who makes his money, he makes his living by gambling, that means he doesn't know what money is. It's easy for him to be made checker on someone else and have his friend lose his money. What does he care? What does he know what the value of a hard-earned buck is? He doesn't know. He doesn't realize it. Someone like that, Chazal Choshed, won't give the proper achrayas, the proper respect for someone else's nechasim. He's pasalaydah. There's a machlekes in the Rishonim. What is the gad of asmachta? And the Gemara says that Misachik Bekuvya is something that, on one hand, it's not totally in the control of the players. However, it's not totally by chance either. It's a middle dargo. It's a middle level. A skilled player will win a lot of times, not always. Someone who doesn't have a skill will occasionally win. But no, there's no guarantee. It's never what Gemara calls biyadoi. It's not up to him whether if he's going to win or not. It's not totally by chance either. Something that's in this middle darga will be considered an asmachta. Lefi many rishonim, lefi the Tosis and the Tur and the Rosh. However, the question in the Gemara, the machloik is what seems in the Gemara, what is Misachik Mekuvia? In the times of old, what was Misachik Mekuvia? That was the Mitzvah. The level of Misachik Mekuvia, did it fall into something that was in control? Or totally not in control, should I say? I'd rather say something that was not in control of the players, or was something that was somehow controlled by the players, and that's where Misachik Mekuvia, that's where it would fall into Asmachta. Now, the reasoning is like this. Why, when something isn't totally in control, it's not considered an asmachta? That's because a person, when he knows something is within his control to do, and he does not do, of course he means to obligate himself. He knows it's totally his fault that he didn't take care of the job that he did. He promised his client he's going to file his taxes by April 15th, get a tax return. He doesn't do it. He could have done it. He should have done it. He was totally biyada. He knows that he's going to have to pay up. When you promise to take care of a certain deal, you don't. You know, you really feel that you're chayav. The same thing, on the flip side, when something's totally not biyadcha, when something's totally by chance, 100% by chance, you have no idea if you're going to lose or win. A person, it can't be that the person says, oh, I'm doing this because perhaps he's hoping to win. He's not hope. But that hope is not enough of something that he really relies on. Such a thing, Zok Tosfos, is not considered an asmachta either. Something that's totally by chance. So the middle darga, that is something that's a bona fide asmachta. And the question in the Gemara is, what was Misachik Mekuvia at that time? It wasn't like they played today's cards. They had other forms of cubes and dice, whatever, however they played back then. The Gemara says that their form of Misachik Mekuvia had some sort of skill to it, and the question between Rabban Bar Chama and Rav Sheshes was how it plays itself out. Now, the Poskim ask to steer in the Rambam, getting back to the Rambam. The Rambam, on one hand, says in Hilchos Gzela that it's considered Gzela Midivrehem. Rav Sheshes says that the reason why Misachik Mekuvia is possible is not because of asmachta that would be considered gzeila, but he's any oisek yishuv shaloylam. The Rambam would sound like that he's passing like Rambam Bar Chama, that the reason why Misachik Mekuvia is possible is because it's an asmachta and it is gzeila midivreya. That's what it would seem, and many poskim nemon like that. I, the Rambam and Hilchos Eidos that says that the reason why you're possible is any yishuv shaloylam. So many achronim, let's call it the camp of the Beis Yosef. There are many achronim who learn like this. The Beis Yosef and his camp, they tell you that's just a reason why you're possible Eidos. Even Rav Sheshes perhaps holds that asmachta, that Misachik Mekuvia is an asmachta and would be gzeila. But it wouldn't be enough for someone to be possible. Why? Because people don't realize that it's a form of gzeila. And to be possible Eidos, there are a lot of tests that you have to pass. One of them is that the person has to willingly know and be aware of what he's doing. So, in a situation where it's an asmachta, however, he's not sure, he doesn't realize it, he's moira heter, such a thing, that in order to be possible eidos, you have to have that factor as well, that he's a person that doesn't realize and doesn't have that, doesn't realize what money, the value of money is. That is the shita of the Beis Yosef. Many other achronim, whole list, let's call it the Sma and his camp, they say no, that the Rambam as well, Paskins, that Misachik Mekuvia is not an asmachta. And this, that the Rambam says, it's a gzeila midivrayam, is because the Rambam holds that Chazal gave it a din of gzeila. Chazal said that someone who's Misachik Mekuvia, and he's doing something that people or any oisik yeshuvish al oilam do, and the person who's going to hand over the money doesn't do it willingly, in this situation, Chazal gave an ether, a new ether, of made it into gzela, and it'll be considered a gzela midivrehem. Interestingly, in the Shulchan Aruch, after in the last part, Ramah says Kvar Nispashim, was already became widespread that people are allowed to play Tovia. And he's mitzayin to Simon Reish Zion in Choshen Mishpat. And it would seem, if you learn the Shulchan Aruch, it would seem that the Ramah paskins that there's no problem at all playing Misach B'Kovya. And the reason is that the Re holds, the Re paskins in Choshen Mishpat, and that the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah paskins in Choshen Mishpat, that there's no problem of playing, there's no problem of a smachta in by Misach B'Kovya. And we're going to see soon that there are certain conditions that have to be met when you play, but there are ways that you could play Kuvya and it will be mutter by when you play Misach Kuvya. That's how the Ramah Paskin, that's how he's Mitzayim. However, in Ur Chaim, in Hilchus Shabbos, the Mechaber Paskins that it's usher for someone to raffle off a bigger portion and a smaller portion. Even in the weekday, when you'll have two prizes and you want to raffle them off, who gets the big prize? Let's say, for example, the Rebbe in his class, he bought a prize for every single kid. However, not all the prizes were equal. The store where he bought the prizes didn't have the 25 of the same item. However, so he bought 10 of one type and 15 of a little better type. Now, who's going to get the 15? Who's going to get the 10 that is a little less quality? So you make a raffle, and the first 15 people that you pick, that will pick out of the hat, they will get that. Such a thing, it would seem, from the Shulchan Aruch, should be aser to do. And the reason for that, Shulchan Aruch says, is because it's Misachik B'Kovya. The Ramah doesn't comment over there. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that the reason why it's Aser, the reason why it's Aser is because it's Asmachta, it's Kseila. Shaar Tzion on the bottom says that this is the Shitas HaRambam. However, the Torah will hold that it's Aser Mitzad Acher, for a different reason. The Poiskim, the Achroinim, the Sugya and Hilchos Shabbos Shin Chav Beis, they jump on the Mechaber and the Ramah. What's going on here? Why should it be Asur Lefi the Shitas of the Ramah? The Magen Avraham says that even though the Ramah holds its Mutter, however, it's going to be some sort of Isser there's going to be. It's a mystery. It's mysterious. What is this other type of Isser that you have over here? The Mach? What? Right, correct. The reason why over there, where it's a geboitan, that an isser is where the Gemara is talking about a case where you have a father who's going to raffle off for his sons. So in Echadami, it's not a real Misach B'Kovya, but it's also the Sruche. It's going to, your Mechanach children, with Misach B'Kovya, eventually they're going to end up move on to bigger and better types of Misach B'Kovya. So even though technically over here, correctly, over here, there's no Misach B'Kovya, but the chinuch is bad. So what you're doing is bad, and mele, it's such a thing is awesome. It's interesting. Perhaps. Let's see. So, the Shulchan Gaboyim already asks the steer in the Torah. And he says that the reason why it's Usr in Ur Chaim, in Hilchos Shabbos, the reason why it's Mechaber Paskins that it's Usr, is for a different reason. Technically, it's not Misach B'Kovya. It shouldn't be Misach B'Kovya. However, if you look in Choshe Mishpat, there are Moz Matir Misach B'Kovya only when there is Mo'is Mukhanim Aladaf, meaning when you have the cash already on the table. If you don't have the cash on the table and you're playing with, let's say, with chips or something, you can be playing the Misach B'Kovya with items that are not the actual thing that the other person is going to win, then it's a problem with Misach B'Kovya. If the item is on the table, then yes. Now, what's the svara of such a halacha that you should need to have the item on the table? This is a machlokes. The base, the Sma brings two pshatim. The first pshat is really Beis Yosef pshat, based on a Tshuvas HaRosh and the Rosh, that the Rosh says that even if you have something that's not a smart, that's not an asmachta, something that's not in your control, such a thing is still, you cannot, Bezin won't be moitzi. That's how the Rosh says it. Bezin won't be moitzi it from someone if he wins. Something total by chance. Why? Because bottom line, the person is not giving it willingly. Some sort of weak type of asmachta will apply over there. A weak darga of asmachta will apply there, Bezin won't be moitzi it. That is one chat. Now, if it's already on the table, and the table which you're playing could be blithe like a chotzer, the melo is considered as if it's out of the player's rishus, and because it's out of your rishus, there's no problem taking it. There's a grada yesh em that says it's not enough to be out of the player's rishus, you already have to be coin of the table, each party has to own part of the table, and you have to be coin of the money already now for the winner at start of the play. That's another sheet of Dargamor. It's not enough that you add a rishus. It already has to be in the rishus of the winner. That's another sheet. The Sma says that's not the pshat. The Sma says that the reason why they have the table, it has to be on the table and you need a kinyan is because simply we're talking about a case where there was no kinyan. When I promise you something, I promise you $100, do I have to keep my word? Well, technically, yes, because there's an issur of mechusar amanah. I'm not allowed to promise you if it's something that's a matana, that's not a matana, that's a matana mu'etes. It's a small matana, and we really take these seriously. Such a thing, yeah, you have to keep your word. But could you force me to keep my word? No, you cannot force me to keep my word. So even if we play misachim kuvya, we play kuvya. However, what's telling us that we're going to actually follow through and pay you if you win? So that's why, Dr. Small, we're talking about a case where there is a kinyan. If we have a kinyan, that's going to be mechayiv me to keep my word, and it'll belong to you, to whoever the winner is. Zok the Shulchan Gevurim, that if you don't have the money that the winner is going to win on the table now, so, and then later on, when the loser loses, he's going to have to give the money then, unwillingly, such a thing is also gzela. Even according to Ramah, that it holds in Sakhar Mekubi will not be gzela, but if there's no kinyan, it won't be on the daf, then that will be considered a gzela. He doesn't explain exactly why that's gzela. Either you could learn that even this form of misachim mikuvya, this form of asmachta will also be considered some sort of gzela, even though it's not real asmachta, meaning if the bezin won't be moitziyet at all, even if you gave it. However, if you give it, such a thing you shouldn't accept. It's a weaker form of asmachta, such a thing he calls gzela. The Masas HaShekel on the Magen Avraham says that the Magen Avraham says it's asr because it's some sort of gzela. However, Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that it's gzela. Mishnah Berurah says that it's asr mitzad echad. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, what he also, he's mashma, it's not an isr gzela, he says it's asr mitzad. He says it's asr, yesh isr is there. Such a shprach. He says, he talks about when you have a real asmachta, it's gzela, but over here, misachim kuvya, let's say you're a goy, then there will be some sort of isr. It's not a shayla of gzela, it's a shayla of an isr. What is this isr? What type of isr is this? So either you could learn that such a thing that's not an asmachta, the weak darga, even though it's not a real gzela, however, it will be considered something that you shouldn't take. Such a thing that something that even though it's not gzela, but it's considered an isser by taking something that the person is not handing over you willingly. You could call that. That's why the Chaim may perhaps don't call it gzela. However, the Rambam at the end in that Shulchan Aruch says that a person, even though there won't be a problem with asmachta, he shouldn't be oisik in varm betalim. Shouldn't be. You should only be oisik in things that are beneficial. Perhaps you could say that the whole issur that we're dealing over here, that the Chroinim, Apaskinim, and Archaim as well, that you shouldn't do, you shouldn't be mesachet bekuvia, is only an iser of being oisek bedvarim betalim. There's a chassam sofer that he wrote in a letter. He was talking about on Nittelnacht, when people were noig not to learn. So people, instead of learning, they used to play cards. They used to gamble, play kvitlach. So the chassam sofer writes, in a letter that even though it's not the best thing to do, however, there's a lot of things that are a lot worse. That if you're going to say that they can't learn, and you can say that they can't play cards, so what is it going to do? Speak Lashon Hara, Machlokes is going to come. A lot of things that are worse than this will come about. That is why he says, Hanach Lahem to Klal Yisrael, that they have the minhag to play cards, let them play cards, they'll keep them out of trouble. He says, however, for people who could learn, of course, Avada they should learn. A very similar type of tshuva was written by Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim before the State of Israel, that he writes a very similar thing. He writes, I think it's talking about Fuklach and Hanukkah. He also writes that it's a lot worse to listen to the news. That's how he says, back the news in those days. You can imagine. Read the newspapers, and that's a lot worse than this, than playing cards. Savada, if they're going to play cards, you don't have to stop them. But Avada, he says, if you could learn, you should learn. It would seem that Chassam Sofer and Yosef Chaim as well understood that the Yisurim of Mesachim Kuvia that we are dealing with are not Gzeila Dika Isser, because if it's Gzeila Dika Isser, you can't start saying that only because I would be doing Lashon Hara, that's why I could do some sort of Gzeila. It would seem that the Isser over here that we are talking about is the Isser of being Oisek with Dvarim Betalim. So he says, listen, Dvarim B'Talem with this is a lot better form of Dvarim B'Talem than other things that people would do. So, even though it's not clear, even though it's very not clear what the Isra and Yerchaim is, and even if you would hold that the Ramah who holds that it's Mutar Chosh Mish, but there is some sort of Isra, it's going to depend who you ask. The Marshal, if kids could play pogs or not, it's really going to depend who you ask. But there might be some, even if you say that there's an Isra of Dvarim B'Talem, and the whole Isra of Dvarim B'Talem, and for a kid, for children, you're not going to say that such a thing should be Asra. However, depending on the situation, however, you still have to be very careful that if you actually are playing fiddle, you are playing being Misachim Nekuvia, that you don't have a real problem of Asmachta. Because the Ramah was only mafir asmachta b'misachet b'kuvya, only if it's on the table, it's on the daf. So if you're gonna want to play a game of cards, you're gonna have to make sure that the money first of all is there, and you're not gonna be owing anyone money. And the fida yashemim in the Ramah as well, you have to make sure that the table belongs to the people there. Now, if you're gonna be playing on the floor in the school or in the schoolyard, you have to know if that will work. If that would be considered enough to take away the smachta. The floor of the schoolyard is sort of lent to the children. They have the right to use it for their play. And for the first shita, that would be enough in order to take away the smachta. However, the fida yashayimim says that's not enough. You have to make a real kinyan. Perhaps that won't be enough. So it's better to stay away, if possible. Rabbi Avadia Yosef, for Svardim, he paskins that even playing lotto will be considered an asmachta for Israeli lotto. Because he says that the Rambam holds, that even things that are by chance, totally by chance, are also considered an asmachta. And he holds that everyone who contributes a dollar, who buys a one shekel, a lotto ticket, whatever it costs now, that money goes into a pool, and the government watches that money and holds it for the winner. And everyone who's contributing money into that pool really is doing that only because he wants to win. So whoever does win and takes all that money, that will be considered a form of zela. So then that person heard when that person there got the advice that he should buy a lottery ticket, he went ballistic. There, Maran Avada Yosef says that you can't do such a thing. And perhaps he went ballistic because not everyone agrees with Maran Avadia. There are poskim, younger poskim by the Sfardim, that they are matir lato for some reasons.
According to Avadia said, why don't you give a very simple argument that a very small amount of money is $1 will give a person fantasies for 3-4 days? It's better than any Prozac or any other pill on the street. And for a dollar, he doesn't look at it as an investment, but if people buy lottery tickets, I'm sure the next couple of days they're already spending the money. So never mind, a smartphone. It's a simple therapeutic device.
I hear, but you're making the case stronger that a person. Some have the argument punk fakert. Some say that when a person buys a lottery ticket, the chance of winning is so small, it's poshut he's just giving it away. You're presenting the argument the other way. Nah, a person, when he buys a lottery ticket, he's already spending the money. So he really looks at himself as anyway. And the truth is that you're right. when people go to Chinese auctions, Marshall, what's the chance of winning? It's not such a big chance. But people put in the tickets as if they're shoppers. That's what my wife told me, at least. They walk around, see, I need this, and one thing, they start chesvening what they need and what they don't need. And then my wife was actually involved in a Chinese auction, and she was, helped organize it. And she told me that, it happens that sometimes there are mistakes, and people win the wrong prize. So people won the wrong prize and was upset. Said, what do you mean you give me this prize? I put in the ticket for the other prize. You have to give me the other prize. They were so upset that they, as if when they put in the ticket, they knew they were going to win their prize. My gut reaction is, be thankful you won anything. Well, you have your tinus. But it's true, people, when they actually put in the ticket, and when they buy a lotto, they could imagine themselves winning. From all the other people who put in. Oh. Okay, yeah. So the matirim, who are matir, poiskim, the younger svadish, the poiskim, who are matir, make such an argument. He's saying that the money, when you're buying a lotto ticket in Eretz Yisrael, where's the money going to? The money is going to the government. They have the money, and it's their money. You're never going to see it again. The Rambam holds when you give away money that the other person has already, even if it's an asmachta, when he can keep it, there won't be an asmachta in such a case. There won't be that. That's the argument that you make. The Rav Avadia Yosef addressed that argument. He says that they're just a shlish. They're just holding on to the money for safekeeping. But really, they're holding on to that money for the winner. That's what he says. I don't know. I don't know the Messias. Oh, beautiful. Many poskim present that argument as well. Some Ashkenazim poskim as well. They say when you buy a ticket, the ticket itself is something that you are buying. The marshal. Is it going to be an asmachta? Let's say I buy some stocks. Tomorrow the stocks could go up. Tomorrow the stocks could crash. Is that a problem with asmachta? I'm taking a gamble. It's even called that. I'm taking a gamble on the stock market. Right? You're gambling? Is that considered gambling? No. You could buy a bottle of milk. You're taking a gamble. Hey, who knows? Maybe the bottle of milk will get spoiled tomorrow. You buy a car. Maybe tomorrow the car will decrease in value by half for whatever reason, depending on the market. Such a thing is not considered a gamble. That such a thing is considered regular market tactics. You buy something, it might go up, it might come down. We call it a gamble, but it's not really a gamble. They want to apply it to a lottery ticket as well. Right now you're buying a lotto ticket. Technically, that ticket you could resell to someone else. I own a ticket, I could sell it to someone. And that person who buys it will be the winner. So such a thing they want to say will not be considered an asmachta, it will be considered as if you're buying a ticket. That's what they want to say. I don't know if Rav Avadia Yosef addresses this. I don't recall if he addresses this in the Nakuda, but obviously he names on that when you buy a ticket, it's not really the ticket that you're buying. You're just buying the chance, you're putting money for the chance to win. That's how he's looking at it. True, but Apple Pekin, you could say that you're buying that ticket, that piece of paper. Even though Al Pi Halacha might be considered a shtar, but it's considered mammon as well. Right? There might be differences in halacha. I'll be that might be considered only shtar. You won't have chiyuv shemen. You won't have anah. There are other halachas that might apply to it, but the piece of paper has value.
Why do you make the difference between
Israel and America? Because difference is that in America most people are goyim. Most people are goyim. It's a goyish lottery company. So you might make the argument that yeah, but there are yidden who buy also. I hear. So you could say that money, there are places to say that you could say the money that you're going to get is only, there's such a word said by stocks and by, it's from the goyim. It's so the thing is that it's, the Rambam himself says that, by the way, Gzeilus Hakam is awesome. There's no one who holds its mutter. You cannot steal from a goyim. It's awesome, across the board. There are certain attain that might apply in certain instances. What?
So why the difference?
Difference is not gzeila. It's not real gzeila. It's only gzeila midivrayim. The Rambam writes that from a goy, there's no problem. The only problem is that you're not being, when you get by gambling, is that you're not being oisik b'yishuv shalom. You're not doing something that's beneficiary for the public. Some say that the lotto is a big benefit for the public. Because our people have to get, you know, this winning out of the system, like the chance of winning. What? Right. So some make that argument. Right. Some poskim, that's another reason why they want to say that it's mutter, because the lotto, the whole system of lotto is beneficial because they build stuff and whatever. Some write what it means, what they use the money for, things that are usher also, so it's not beneficial. You know, yeah, but that is for used as well. That's the lotto system. Yeah. Okay, so this is a regular question of a smachta. A regular case of a smachta. So when you're going to have an insurance company, it's owned by a yid, not a broker, right? You're going to have someone, a yid, who owns an insurance company, and he's going to insure your car. And the car is going to, basically what that means is that he's going to promise that in the event that your car will get damaged, he will pay you the price of the car. He'll give you $10,000, LaMarshall. So such a thing is a case of a smachta, perhaps. So you're going to have to go through, in order to be chayiv in such an instance, you're going to have to go through the halachas of a smachta to see if you're really going to be chayiv. Now there are a lot of ways of getting out of a smachta. In order to, if you make a kinyan with nei bezin choshev and if you write ma'achshov, that could get you out of a smachta. But in a chanami, that could be something that's an issue. A chanami. I think you're trying to say that maybe Dina Malchusadina, that's Mechayiv something, might be a way to getting you out of this Machta. Meaning, you know that you'll be able to get the money out of him. Because the Dina Malchusadina, he has to pay Alpi Dina Malchusadina. Even though Alpi, if you bring him to a Bezda, he might not have to pay. But that alone, that the Dina Malchusadina will somehow force him to pay, I'm not sure how you're going to get him to pay. That will be mechayiv masmata. And a chanami, if the mitzvah is that he will have to pay without you having to get involved by suing him in court, then in a chanami, that perhaps will take you out of this machta. However, if that's not the case, there's no way if he doesn't pay to get him to pay, then you will have a problem with smachta. Because in a bezdin, bottom line, if a bezdin will not make him pay because it's not smachta, you're going to have a problem.
I just want the fact that you can't insurance car, like car insurance.
I can't drive the car, but I could show the cops when they stop me that I have an insurance document, and I'm fine, I'm good to go. This is between the insurance company and you. If you want to make the case that it's a tie-in on the insurance company, if they won't pay and they'll tie-in as a smart, but that's not called an insurance company. And that alone will take you out of the smachta. Okay, maybe. Okay, guys, time is up. It is 11:30. And Shkoyach for listening, and hopefully Rabbi Marble will be back shortly.
You're not giving the money because you're hoping to get it. The money from insurance, you're doing it because you want to drive your car. That sounds a different thing.